Ways and Means, and I've taken the liberty of supplying everybody with some wonderful Oregon-grown Willamette Valley strawberries and cherries, which I hope you very much enjoy, and I'm proud to be able to support the Oregon agricultural industry by offering these fabulous pieces of fruit here. We're here today.
Madam Chair, the only problem here is that we now realize that summer is going on. The rest of the world is continuing, even as we're still here.
So please help yourself and enjoy the fruit. We're here today for a work session on Senate Bill 5518, which is the budget bill for the Department of Fish and Wildlife. And what I will do is turn the process at this point over to Mr. Rocco, the legislative fiscal staff person on the bill. Mr. Rocco.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, we have a number of handouts today for Senate Bill 5518, the budget bill for Department of Fish and Wildlife. You'll see in front of you the governor's recommended budget, which we never got to during the public hearing process. And Ms. Gilbert from Budget Management Division is here if you'd like to go through that.
Ms. Gilbert, would you care to come forward and present that to us?
Isn't it sort of irrelevant?
It's the pageantry.
I want to know if we have one of these that is relevant.
What?
One of these budgets that is relevant.
Ms. Gilbert, I think that in the interest of the what this document actually is, probably just the 30,000-foot overview would suffice.
No, that's probably the
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, for the record, Linda Gilbert has budget management, and that was exactly what I had intended to do. In fact, I wasn't even going to appear at the table at all. The document in front of you is the 2001-03 Governor's Recommended Budget. On the first page, we see that the total budget is $205.4 million, and that is down from the 9901 legislatively approved. The following page lists the major attributes of the budget. It assumes that the 1999 license and tag fee increases continue. It also continues general funding authorized by 1999 Senate Bill 5511. It continues and has a package to enhance Oregon plant activities, provides general fund support for selected other fund positions, and eliminated three hatcheries and hatchery capital improvements. The three hatcheries are Butte Falls, Rock Creek, and Trask. The following three pages are three different views of the same budget, and I think unless you have questions, we can just fly over those, our pies. And that brings us to page 7, which is how to build this current service level, or how we built the budget. The emergency boards that we had through April of 2000 included the 1999 budget, had some accountability holdbacks totaling $650,000 general fund. There were fish screening projects, $2 million that came over from OWIP for fish screening projects. And finally, there was funding for the stream restoration or heritage biologists. It also came in part from OWIP. Current service level budget adjustments on page 8 totaled $10.3 million, and it was backing out a good deal of one-time funding. On the following five pages, we have all the option packages, and they are grouped by fund type. On page 9, we show the general reductions that totaled $1.7 million. Of that amount, $350,000 was for transferring two positions from Fish and Wildlife to OWIP. So that's a net zero reduction for the state. On the following page, page 10, we have the packages that we put back into the budget, assuming sunset of the fee increase, or repealing the sunset of the fee increase. They totaled $4.6 million. And the restore or continue current activities. On page 11, we show that we've extended the 1999 Senate Bill 5511 one-time general funding. The intent was that the agency would get general fund one time and continue after that using other funds. It was determined that other funds were insufficient. This was back last fall. It was determined that other funds at that time were insufficient, and so we elected to continue this on general funding. A fourth area of packages shows on page 12, and this was a $1.9 million fund shift from other funds to general fund to cover selected positions and to, because other funds were considered insufficient for the roll-up costs on salaries. On page 13, the last of the pages of packages, this is some enhancement packages that were included. One was for the private provider trout purchases. We had $172,000 of general fund. Another was the game resource management funding of $80,000. I believe Saturday or one day in the near recent past, we took care of that with a particular bill, and that's going to go up from $80,000 to $120,000. Package 321 was to add some habitat biologists for Oregon Plan, $465,000. And on the last page, with respect to fee or revenue changes, the budget does depend on the passage of House Bill 2166, which I believe is before this committee tomorrow, which repeals the January 2002 sunset on the fee increase approved by the 1999 legislature.
Thank you very much. Questions or comments for Ms. Gilbert? Representative Krieger.
Madam Chair, on the 10th page, package 201, historic propagation at Elk River, Coal River, what are they doing, be doing that they're not already doing?
Representative Krieger, if I might interject here, the governor's recommended budget is really not on the table anymore at this point. That we have all worked on, the agency and the governor's office and legislative fiscal, a proposal for another budget, and so this is somewhat of an irrelevant document.
Is that contained in the other budget?
No.
Madam Chair, could we know which packages
are carried forward?
Yes.
Madam Chair. Representative Krieger, this particular package was added back as assuming that the fee increase continues, that the sunset is repealed. So if that happens, then what this does is continue current activity. It doesn't add activity.
Madam Chair, Representative Krieger, and in the material that we'll go through, the recommendation from LFO is to approve all of those restoration packages that are dependent on the sunset of the fee bill, so they will be included still.
Thank you.
Senator Dukes, did you have a question?
Well, I guess about a number of them. It's like there's one of my own hatcheries in there. I don't know what the $281,000 for. I'm just curious about a lot of them, but if there's a description in here, and if all of these are still in active play, then I'm happy to go through here. But if there are any of them that are no longer in active play, then I could just cross those off the list and not bother looking at them.
Madam Chair, members, I might just try to explain this a little bit. That because there was a sunset on the fee increase bill, the department had to construct a budget that eliminated the revenue because they couldn't be sure that the bill would pass. So they had to have packages in their budget that would eliminate program if the bill did not pass. And then in anticipation or in hopes that the bill would pass, then they added packages back to restore the functions that they took out. So these restoration packages are all approved in the LFO recommended budget. They are again all dependent on passage of the fee bill 2166 in some form.
Thank you very much. Mr. Rocco, could you proceed with LFO's recommendation?
Madam Chair, we have provided members with six items related to the work session today. There's the bill itself, Senate Bill 5518. There is a memo with the recommended changes, as you've seen for other natural resource agencies. There's a detailed spreadsheet with individual package numbers. There's a summary list that looks like this, that is a summary of additional packages that needed to be provided to reorient the budget. And they're grouped into types of packages. In order to deal with the revenue issues that were identified by the agency early in this budget cycle, we've had to add about 45 packages to the governor's recommended budget. So this is a summary of the packages, and most of these are included in ELFO's recommendation in some form or another. And so you'll see certain themes. There'll be cost reduction packages, and then there's a restoration package because the co-chairs provided additional general fund to restore some of the cuts that needed to be made because of the other fund revenue shortfall. And then there are other packages in here that are for reorganization purposes and a lot of technical changes that need to be done in the budget in order for the agency to officially move functions and positions to where the dollars are within the budget. So there's a number of technical changes that we'll see. There's a memo with budget notes. We did not include them in within the recommended changes memo because there are a number of them, 15 in fact. So that's a separate memo that we'll need to go through. And then at the end, the last handout is the recommended amendments based on LFO's recommendations. And if the committee, of course, changes any of those recommendations, we can adjust that memo.
Questions or comments? Please proceed, Mr. Rocco.
So, Madam Chair, I think we'll just start with the wildlife game program. That's the first item on the memo, and it starts on page 7 of the spreadsheet. In this budget, since the agency was required to take a number of cuts, you won't see the standard kinds of out-of-state travel reductions, the S&S reductions, because those are included, built in to the reductions that the agency needed to, that we needed to do to bring forth a balanced budget. So,
if I might just interject, committee members, please feel free to ask questions as questions arise, and we have the department here available as reference. So, with that in mind, please feel very free to ask questions. Sorry, Mr. Rocco.
That's fine, Madam Chair. So the first of these changes to the wildlife game program is PERS reduction. And we did manage to identify all the PERS reductions in the budget. And that amounts to $609 general fund, $18,528 of other funds, and $2,058 of federal funds. There is an adjustment package to the to essential package 030, which is $19,966 for reduced attorney general costs other funds. The first package is policy package 101, which is on page 9 of the spreadsheet, and item C on page 1 of the memo. This is one of the license fee restoration packages that you'll see in each of the program areas. This one is for game management restoration, and LFO is recommending approval of this package with a slight reduction for the PERS change of $876 of other funds. This restores positions in the big game program, and it is dependent on passage of House Bill 2166. Package 121 is a resource management package that was envisioning shifting base positions from other funds to general fund because of shortfalls in the other fund revenues. And this was a policy decision that legislative fiscal made, that the monies in those, that this kind of shift should be used on a one-time basis rather than to be rolled up in the future by paying for base positions. So LFO is recommending in these types of packages that you'll see in other programs of this COLA shift to use the general fund instead to pay off the debt to the Fish Endowment account, so that that account is whole. And under Senate Bill 62, which the committee will also hear tomorrow, that bill is proposing to fix the situation and allow the agency to use this account for short-term cash flow needs. But in order to get that account to the status that it needs, to its end, to the balance that it needs, LFO is recommending supplementing it with general fund instead of the other funds that the agency would have had to do to make the balance whole.
Senator Dukes.
I guess two things. One, how are we coming on dedicating that, the interest from that money to fish hatcheries, or keeping it dedicated to that?
Madam Chair, Senator Dukes, that is still open for discussion tomorrow with Senate Bill 62, and we have a proposal for you.
That doesn't look quite the way I'd want it to, probably. Well, we're not done with that one yet, then. I was curious as to what the $40,000 general fund having to do with predator work. I don't remember House Bill 2180, so by number anyway.
Madam Chair, Senator Dukes, the change to this package then is to reverse the general fund other funds. So we're proposing to increase other funds to pay for the COLA type costs. In that package, in the governor's recommended budget, there was an additional $40,000 provided in that package. Actually, it's $80,000, $40,000 per year for the predatory animal fund that was in House Bill 2180. And that is the bill that came through the committee and was increased by the committee from a base of $40,000 a year to $60,000 a year. So that there's $120,000 of general fund provided each biennium for the predatory animal account. And this additional $40,000 is to provide that money, because it wasn't appropriated in the Bill 2180.
Okay, I'm just drawing a blank. It sounds familiar, but so does everything else at the moment.
Further questions or comments?
Package.
Please proceed, Mr. Rocco.
And Madam Chair, if members have questions about the details of positions in some of these packages that we're going to get to, the agency is here to answer those kinds of questions. Package 141 is resource management for federal research dollars. This is a package that LFO is recommending approval, again with just a PERS reduction. And it has one FTE associated with it, and there's a reduction of $164. Package 151 is an LFO adjustment package for the cost reduction, and it is coupled with Package 191, which is a co-chair adjustment that restores general fund for portions of these cost reduction packages. So, developed because of the shortfall in the agency's revenues. So the agency brought forth a $4.6 million reduction plan. And if you look at this, the sheet that looks like this, you can see where there's a summary of those at the top section of that, where it says cost reduction packages. And you'll see over on the side the total is $4.5 million of other funds and $179,000 of federal funds, a total of about $4.67 million. The set of packages under that are the restoration packages where the co-chairs provided $2 million to offset some of those reductions in the packages above that. So as we go through these programs, you'll see cost reduction packages that come from that top list, and then restoration packages that add back. So the first cost reduction package was for wildlife game was a reduction of $668,413. It eliminated 8 positions and 2.25 FTE. Package 191, the restoration package, restores $209,265 of that amount with general fund, and it adds back 7 of those 8 positions that were lost.
Madam Chair.
Senator Dukes.
I know we need to move through this budget, but I'd like to get a feel for what somebody thinks that one position, you know, what the impact of some of these reductions will
That's
be.
That's a very
on
valid
overall.
Question. Director Ball, would you come forward and help Senator Dukes here?
Chair Morgan, members of the committee, my name is Lindsay Ball. I'm the director of the Department of Fish and Wildlife.
And I guess all I'm asking, Lindsay, is as we go through this, like, we're on the one, the game, or we're reducing your personnel by 1. And I guess I'm wondering.
That's in package number 191?
Yes. You can tell me that somebody that's
Chair
been
Morgan,
a vacant
Senator
position
Dukes,
for
I
5 years, and you can tell me it's you're laying somebody off. I don't.
Chair Morgan, Senator Dukes, I'll have to quickly research that and get back to you.
Okay. I'll probably have those questions on anything where there's a difference between what the number of approved positions is today and what we're looking at approving in the budget.
Okay.
Well, you might just want to stay there so that you're available for questions.
I think
that
he needs to bring somebody with him, though.
George, do you have that answer? Okay.
They got positions that were coming out later. Makes me nervous.
Mr. Rocco.
Madam Chair, the next package is package on page 2 of the memo, item H, which is budget reorganization package. As I disappear from view, this is one of the. This is a set of packages that the Legislative Fiscal Office and the Department are interested in order to move positions from the programs into the Central Budget Office. There's no net change to the agency. In this case, it's a reduction to the Wildlife Game Program of $191,994 of other funds and $12,628 federal funds, and the elimination of one position. But that position and the funding is just transferred to the administration program, and you'll see that in the package when we get to that division. And there is also a budget note that directs the agency on why this is occurring and what the interest is in doing this. And we can either look at that now or you can wait until we get to admin.
I think it would be appropriate to look at the budget notes that apply to the different sections as we get to them to give the committee members a full view of what's being proposed here.
Madam Chair, on the budget note memo, this is budget note number 2 under administration number 2, which directs. It indicates that the legislatively adopted budget would move these positions from the divisions to the central office, the central budget office, and would expect the agency to consolidate budget functions under administrative services. I think you heard during testimony that a lot of these positions were not reporting to the budget office, and that caused some confusion in the amount of dollars that were available to be spent. And we think this is the way the agency wants to go and should go. And it also directs the budget office to make sure the divisions and programs know exactly what their expense allotment is and how they're spending money.
Questions or comments on the budget note? Mr. Rocco, if you could give us the bottom line numbers for this section of the budget.
With these changes, Madam Chair, the total budget for wildlife game would be $664,153 general fund, $16,984,582 other funds, $1,894,908 federal funds, and 97.73 FTE.
We still have an outstanding question that Senator Dukes has asked about where, what exactly is the position that's being eliminated, and the agency will bring forward that information. With the exception of that one outstanding issue, are there any other questions or comments or objections to this section of the budget? Thank you. Mr. Rocco, please proceed. Director Ball, did you wish to comment?
I have the answer to Senator Dukes' request.
We'd be very pleased to have that information.
Senator Dukes, the package 191, the issue with a game position that would be eliminated, that position is a wildlife position that's funded by the Wildlife Division and by the Fish Division, and was supporting a legislative coordinator in the director's office of the agency. That's one of the reasons I was a little confused. I couldn't think of where we were cutting a person in game, but that is where that position comes from. I nor the commission feel that there is a need for a legislative coordinator assigned to the agency. In the future, I think you will see the deputy director of the agency functioning as a legislative liaison with legislature. So that position was elected to be eliminated.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Rocco.
Madam Chair, the next program of the agency is the Wildlife Habitat Program. This starts on page 10 of the spreadsheet and number 2 on page 2 of the memo. Again, there are PERS reductions here of $817 general funds, $3,817 other funds, and $5,714 federal funds. Item B on the memo is a remnant from a former budget, a former unknown budget, not related to the Department of Fish and Wildlife. So if you would just ignore that section, it should not be there.
This is some anomaly in your word processing program?
This is an anomaly in the analyst's processing of materials last night. So.
Anomaly.
Was that at 1 a.m.?
Yeah, I was going to say
I'm
after
looking
a full
at the
night
time printed on the spreadsheet section of this, and I once again admire your stamina.
2:13 a.m.
And Madam Chair, and, for the committee, these reductions that are shown in item B do not appear in the spreadsheet, so they don't need to be changed anywhere. That's just a line that should not be there. The first package is policy package 102. This is one of those license fee restoration packages, and this is relating to the green forage and deer program. LFO's recommending restoring this package with $464,642, which is a $122 reduction because of the PERS change, and that's the only change to that package. Package 142, the next package, is a resource management for federal wildlife mitigation. Again, LFO is recommending approval of this package with 9 FTE federally funded with a reduction for PERS of $1,327. The next two packages are cost reduction packages and then the co-chair restoration package. The cost reduction here is $386,597 of other funds. It affects one position, and which was about 0.08 FTE. The co-chair restoration adds about $82,306 of general fund back, restores the position and the FTE. In many cases, the differences in between the position costs and the or the restoration and the reduction are due to services and supplies reductions and travel expenses that have been eliminated from the budget. With these changes to the governor's budget, Madam Chair, the totals are for the Wildlife Habitat Program are $531,070 general fund, $4,841,720 other funds, and $9,389,539 federal funds with 63.15 FTE.
Are there any budget notes that are relevant to the Wildlife Habitat Program?
Madam Chair, there are not directly related to wildlife.
Are there any questions or comments or objections to the LFO recommendation for the Wildlife Habitat Program? Thank you. Mr. Rocco, please proceed.
The next program begins on page 13 of the spreadsheet and at the bottom of page 2 on the memo, which is the Wildlife Diversity Program. There's a recommended reduction for PERS of $931 general fund, $861 other funds, and $916 federal funds. And that is the only recommended change to this budget. With that change, the total for wildlife diversity would be $743,306 general fund, $527,354 other funds, and $1,821,459 federal funds with 11.42 FTE. And
Thank
there are
you.
No budget notes Thank associated with this program.
Are there questions or comments or objections to LFO's recommendation for the Wildlife Diversity Program? Mr. Rocco, please proceed.
On page 15 of the spreadsheet and at the top of page 3 of the memo is the Fish Division Propagation Program. The first change to the governor's recommended budget is for the PERS reductions, and that's $11,067 general fund, $7,508 other funds, and $23,420 federal funds. There's an adjustment to Essential Package 030, which is for attorney general costs of due to the reduced rate of $37,477 of other funds. At the bottom of page 16, Program Reduction Package 090, which was in the recommended in the governor's budget, would have closed three hatcheries. Those would be the Trask, Rock Creek, and Butte Falls. The LFO recommendation would restore those reductions, so those hatcheries would not close. They would be restored with general fund, totaling $834,305. That would also restore 8 positions back to the department, and that would be 7.5 FTE restored.
Madam Chair.
Senator Dukes.
I'd just like to make a comment. I'm delighted that we're able to not close hatcheries this time around. There are serious scientific questions about one of the hatcheries involved, and that even is not my major concern. My major concern is we're not putting a dime in for improvements in hatcheries in this budget. And keeping them open by keeping people there and trying to raise fish isn't going to do it in the long term. And so I want to just get that on the record that somebody's got to take a lead here somewhere, or we're going to close our hatcheries by default.
Senator Dukes, if I might also comment on this, that during the course of my involvement in the legislative process with the agency, one of the things that kind of sticks out like a sore thumb is that there is no policy that governs hatcheries, and there is no plan that talks about maintenance, what's a priority, what's good to do, what's bad to do. And it's really frustrating to look at the issue, the whole issue of hatcheries, from the budget point of view, because you don't have anything from the agency as their overall plan with how to deal with hatcheries, which direction they're going in a general point of view, and then how to implement that plan. And so we have worked on a budget note that attempts to address this problem, and I'll let Mr. Rocco bring that budget note forward, but in my estimation, this is one of the areas where the agency very clearly and quickly needs to move into a place where they quit talking about it and do something about it.
Like, for example, Madam Chair, the hatcheries are all doing habitat, hatchery genetic management plans, HGMPs. And I don't know what the shortcomings are going to be. I know they'll be there. And given this budget, I don't know what they're going to do about them when they find out that they've got, because without adequate HGMPs, we don't produce fish. And so it seems to me that in the next year, we could come into a real problem here. And so I hope the agency, as they go through that, and I know they will because they've got good staff doing it, but keep us advised and make recommendations to us as to what we need to do. But if we can't show that our genetics that we're using in a given hatchery are sufficient to meet the Endangered Species Act, we don't get to release those fish.
I agree with you that there are great policy shortcomings here. That Mr. Rocco, could you present the budget note, and then I'd like to have the director comment on this issue.
Madam Chair, there is a budget note, number 11, on page 3 of the budget note memo that's talking more towards the issue of maintenance needs of the department for hatcheries. This is related to the Senate Bill 62 changes. And this budget note directs the agency to review the status of the hatcheries and come up with a prioritized list of the needs of how to repair these hatcheries. It doesn't really get into the idea of having them look at the use of hatcheries and how they are functioning under the new Endangered Species Act, but I know that the department doesn't need that. I don't feel they need that direction because they are going to do that and have been doing it and are working towards that goal. And so I think Mr. Ball could probably talk to that, what they intend to do in the next 2 years.
Mr. Director.
Chair Morgan and Senator Dukes, in response to your question and concern about where we are with hatchery management and how we are going to align hatchery production, hatchery maintenance, and reconstruction, that is it on our doorstep for one of our first tasks that I have assigned Ed Bowles after we complete legislative session, is that he and I are going to go to each region, meet with the fisheries biologists of each region, and talk about the native fish conservation policy that we are putting in place. On the heels of that will come the hatchery production policy. And when we start forming our hatchery and fish management plans for the basins, the hatchery component will be worked into that equation. Hopefully we will have that done this upcoming biennium. We will then have a plan that we will submit to legislature on what our hatchery program will look like, just not on the near future, but also into a long-range forecast so that the agency can start planning, because the hatchery investment is expensive, but it's also long-term. And we have to come to grips with managing fish under the Endangered Species Act, providing fish for the public to catch on sport fishery, and also for the commercial interests to catch salmon as well. It's a task that is large and will be a challenge for the agency, but it's definitely one that we have to meet. And that's what my plans are on in the near future. Please understand, my life expectancy with this agency expires on August 15th, so But that, I think you'll find staff will carry forward with that plan.
Senator Dukes, did you wish to comment?
Yeah. What I'd like to see out of the agency over the next 2 years is some type of a user-friendly evaluation of each of the hatcheries and compare that hatchery and its role in this new program we're putting together, this new native fish policy. Sort of, if native fish policy is where we're going for fisheries in the future of Oregon, then how do each of our hatcheries fit into that plan, and do they fit in? And then compared to that, I mean, you need to take into consideration the physical shape of the hatchery and the species that it can produce, and how they fit in and where those species are normally distributed, you know, where we put them, because there are some areas under the plan we're not going to be able to put hatchery fish and others that we can. Because I'm looking for this whole bigger picture that says, maybe only for the next 10 years, but for the next 10 years, this is where we're going, this is what we need to get there, and this is what's standing in our way. And that's not going to be easy, because the last time we looked at our hatcheries, all we did was find out if the roofs were leaking and things like that, and whether they had fish screens, and it was sort of an inventory of what was going on at the hatchery. And while that's important, it says nothing about the role of the hatchery in the future of fisheries in Oregon. The report I'm asking you for is a controversial one, because ultimately you're going to say this or that about somebody's pet project or their pet hatchery. But until we deal with those, I don't know how we can get past it. We know we can't go on the way we are today, but I would like to see something to us that says, this is where we're going, this is how we intend to utilize the hatcheries in that future, and this is what we need to get us there. Then I think the ball's in our court. So I don't know for sure, because I'm not on that commission, what your future is. I was thinking for a moment there that maybe I didn't need a budget note. I don't know if I do or not. I wish things were moving a little faster. If I knew Lindsay was going to be there, I'm not concerned. And I expect that you will, but I'm not on that commission.
Director.
Chair Morgan, Senator Dukes, I think what the staff has come to realize, as well as many of our sports groups and commercial interests and the public in general, is that Oregon's fish hatcheries operated by the Department of Fish and Wildlife have served us well, but we also are realizing in just the last few years the landscape has changed with the federal listings and the need to provide an opportunity for people to recreate with sport fishery and also the commercial interests. That means that hatchery production is going to have to change. Quite frankly, I think we're a little bit behind in making the needed changes. I sense that same feeling with staff, and I think you'll find that staff is ready and willing to start making some changes with the hatchery program.
At your level, yes. At the hatchery level, not quite yet.
Well,
they're still defending their programs, because they think they're under attack.
I guess Chair Morgan, Senator Dukes, maybe they'll find out who they work for.
Thank you.
The bottom line is that you may well find us come back and recommending that some hatcheries are closed. You may find us come back recommending that some hatcheries are augmented, that hatchery management schemes are altered in order to meet the need of the Endangered Species Act, but also provide opportunity for people to go fishing.
Okay. Senator Ferrioli.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I've said this, I think, before in committee, and certainly it was a theme that was articulated many times in the SR2 committee and that is that hatcheries need to be operated with an adaptive management overview that we do not currently have. We haven't articulated clearly the objectives of fisheries management. You know, we've bogged down in the dueling scientists issues of the Endangered Species Act and what's best, and whether a conservation strategy, a put-and-take fishery, a mixed-stock fishery, or wild fish management policy
should be preeminent.
The fact is, from time to time, things change, and approaches will change in different places as that happens. I would love to see, and I think we need to have, a clearly articulated fisheries management policy first. And that has to take into account sport fishing, commercial fishing,
wild fish maintenance and preservation.
And acknowledging that we have mixed stock fisheries management, no coordination between all of the entities in the Pacific Northwest that operate hatcheries and manage fisheries, or little, put it that way. There's a meeting or two, but actually putting things into practice is a little bit tougher.
In that blizzard of inputs,
the department has to clearly articulate its approach and then connect the operation of hatchery management to the policy.
And they will change. They're expected to.
Until that happens, I think you've got people stranded on in little islands of ideological arguments, and you've got most of the folks who are advocates for their approach on the ramparts, and they will not come off the ramparts until there's a decision made at the level of the commission. And I guess the analogy would be, it's been just as bad or worse a pitched battle in forestry. But the Board of Forestry can clearly articulate every policy and connect actions to those policies. And that's, I think, the model I would suggest and hold up. And I think that's the model that's being templated for management in many areas in the Department of Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. I think the whole thing comes to a focal point in the hatchery management program because that sort of symbolizes the different approaches to wildlife management, fisheries management, and literally everything the department does. So I guess the charge I would leave with the commission is that until it can clearly articulate the policy for fisheries management Oregon and connect the hatchery management programs, and there'll be multiple programs because they'll differ in every watershed, to those policies, then people are going to continue to be confused and continue to be defensive. It's a huge undertaking.
It shouldn't be, we shouldn't expect it to be done overnight.
But I think the objective ought to be to model the outputs in the same way that the Department of Forestry has been able to do that. We have just as many dueling scientists in forestry management, but we seem, at least at the Oregon Department of Forestry level, not to have the flare-ups and the pitched battles on the issues. And I think it's just been the constancy of articulating policy and connecting actions. So I think it'll happen. It's just a matter of somebody insisting that we have the policy first and then the strategy for adaptive management in each one of those hatcheries.
I think that both of the senators have made very thoughtful and very important comments to the agency, and I would hope that the agency is listening very carefully to what's being said, because I think that both of you have, because of your experience with these issues and your thoughtfulness on these issues, really kind of hit the nail on the head in a policy area that the agency needs to be in the forefront of in the state. And I think that all of us recognize that the way that hatcheries interplay with the processes that we're going to be going through as we formulate the recovery plans for all of the listed species that we're dealing with, it's an area of critical importance, and it's an area where the success of Oregon's recovery planning proposal will pivot on. And I just once again want to reiterate that I hope very much that the agency is listening very carefully to these comments. Representative Krupp.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Director Ball, for the record, what is the maintenance backlog at the hatcheries? The dollar amount, please.
Chair Morgan, Representative Krupp, to my recollection, it is approximately $26 million.
And Madam Chair, if I may follow up.
Yes.
Thank you. How much is in your revised budget to deal with that maintenance backlog?
Chair Morgan, Representative Krupp, there is nothing specific in the budget for hatchery maintenance.
Madam Chair, if I may?
Yes.
Do you have the ability to go to the e-board in the interim and request funds for hatchery maintenance should you have a difficult circumstance arise that would need substantial emergency work?
Chair Morgan, Representative Krupp, yes, we have that opportunity before us. There is also, in Senate Bill 62, if it passes, a small amount of money that can be rolled forward for maintenance.
And we'll be hearing that bill tomorrow in this committee.
Madam Chair, I must echo the sentiments of our two senators. I understand the crossroads that we are at with this agency in terms of its turning itself around financially, and I'm very willing to support that. I am deeply concerned, however, that there is no money dedicated in this budget for the purposes of hatchery maintenance. $26 million backlog is a substantial amount of money. And sooner or later, it's going to have to be addressed. And we in the legislative process need to recognize that and be willing to step up to the plate to provide funding to do that. Otherwise, we might as well shut them down because that's ultimately what will happen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair Morgan, if I may comment, Representative Krupp, I don't disagree with your interest and in your comments. But I think one of the things that's important for the agency to do is to come forward with their hatchery management plan to determine if there are hatcheries that we should eliminate or augment. And before we put a lot of maintenance money into those hatcheries, we need to decide which ones we want to keep and which ones we want to close down. And I think we need to get our job accomplished on that on this side and then come forward with possibly a major maintenance funding issue later.
Standard operating.
And I think, Representative Krupp, that there, that Director Ball has done a good job of explaining the predicament that we find ourselves in. We clearly have a need for maintenance, and we have an acknowledged maintenance backlog on the hatchery system. But because we lack an overall policy and we lack an overall direction about where the program's going, we don't have the basis to make a decision about what the program should be to maintain hatcheries, which ones we should maintain, which ones we should mothball, how we should which ones we should be looking at in terms of the CHIP proposal. All those things are still needing to be formed by the agency. And I know that I personally am, I see that the hatchery program is absolutely critical to fisheries in the state of Oregon, but I have a reluctance to throw a bunch of money in that direction until we have a kind of a broad-based plan in place so that we're dealing with the problem with a methodology that has a goal at the end of it.
Madam Chair, question for Ken and you. When that determination is made by the department in terms of policy directions in that regard, is it a reasonable policy direction to think in terms of financing maintenance backlog that we would look at selling bonds to do so?
If I might, I don't think that we've ruled anything out or anything in at this point. We need to see what we're actually dealing with. And I also might add, too, that when we consider Senate Bill 62, tomorrow, it isn't like we've shut the tap off to hatchery maintenance. There will be a substantial amount of money available to maintain hatcheries if that bill makes it through the system.
Madam Chair, that's to listen to your words. I need clarification. Substantial amount of money available or dedicated?
Mr. Rocco, if you could.
Madam Chair, Representative Krupp, I think when we get further into the fish budget here, you'll see that there's a proposal in the capital improvement part of their budget to use about $450,000 out of the deferred maintenance account that would be established by Senate Bill 62 in the 0103 biennium directly for hatchery maintenance. And this is $450,000 more than has ever been used out of that account before, because they never used it for hatchery maintenance. So, and the capitalization of that account with the restoration of the $2.1 million by the co-chairs would mean that that would be about the amount that would be on a steady biennial basis available in the future for hatchery maintenance, and the agency will come forward with a budget describing how they would use those anticipated interest earnings off of that account in the future. And there's also approximately, I believe, $211,000 general funds remaining in the agency's base for hatchery maintenance, and they also get some money from the Restoration and Enhancement Board every 2 years for restoration or for hatchery maintenance activities. I think you bring up a very good issue, and I think we're trying to address the fact that there's a need there. We need to find out exactly what the need is, which hatcheries need to be maintained and which should logically be closed. And a lot of times that's more of a political decision than a budget decision. And I think we need to figure out what the hatchery system should look like, and then address some of the maintenance needs. And I think for the first time we've identified a relatively stable and steady source of funding. It's probably not enough to deal with it immediately, but it's getting at least a steady stream of revenue.
Thank you.
Senator Dukes.
But only a guaranteed steady stream if we dedicate it to hatcheries.
I just had to throw that. Did you want to throw something at him too?
No.
That's a tomorrow discussion.
You'll probably come up a couple more times though.
Mr. Rocco, can we proceed?
The next package is at the bottom of page 16. This is package 201, which is a license fee restoration for the propagation program. And again, this is dependent on passage of House Bill 2162. LFO is recommending approval with a PERS reduction of $364. And this package would restore three positions that would have been eliminated without the fee and the removal of the fee sunset. On page 17 of the spreadsheet, it's package 211, which is a resource management restoration package from in Senate Bill 5511 last session. The legislature provided general fund to the agency on a one-time basis because it was to bail them out of a problem they had last session. The governor's recommended budget has brought forth some of that one-time money as a two-time money, and in this package, the money would be used to maintain or to continue operations at the Nehalem Hatchery, and LFO is recommending approval of this package with a reduction of $456 general fund for PERS changes. Package 221 was included in the governor's recommended budget for with $172,372 of general fund for trout purchase to comply with Senate Bill 834. Now, the committee's already dealt with and approved House Bill 3334 this session, which would extend the private aquaculture 10% of trout production for another 2 years, and that discussion's already been had. LFO is recommending in this package a slight redirection of the package, since there has been a mechanism developed to deal with the needs of Senate Bill 834, or in this case, in this session, House Bill 3334. So instead, LFO is recommending adding $27,628 to the governor's recommended package, which brings the total to $200,000 of general fund, and to add $25,000 of other funds limitation from money that the agency still has from Diamond Lake activities that were authorized in the 9901 biennium, and direct that this money be used only for Diamond Lake, and to do a couple of things. One would be to purchase trophy trout again, as they did in the 9901 biennium, to keep the fishery going in that area, and then to do some more experimental things about adding different kinds of brood stock, perhaps spring chinook or brown trout or other kinds of species into the lake, to see if they could deal with the problems of the tui chub that's in Diamond Lake. The $25,000 other funds would be used to wrap up the final work on the data that has been collected for the environmental impact statement, but it would not lead to any additional work in that area.
Questions or comments?
And Madam Chair, there is a budget note associated with this package, and it is number.
Which budget note is that?
It is number 12. Which lays out some of these conditions and uses of the money, directing the department in what activities the Diamond Lake, the revenue for Diamond Lake would be used for.
Senator Ferriero.
Oh, Madam Chairman, I think this is another one of those kinds of indicators that we need to ask the agency to be very well aware of. And I put this in the same category as the decision to do a NEPA review in an area where a decision should have been made and could have been made without a NEPA review, or the question could have been divided so that the research on an issue could have been conducted as it was appropriated for and directed to be done, without triggering the necessity of a NEPA review, because there would not have been a final decision made or an irrevocable commitment of resources until the study was finished. And we appropriated in the last legislative session for remediation up in Diamond Lake and the restocking of that lake, and it didn't get done. And we've piddled around and messed around and lost a two-year period and come to a stopgap measure, which is stocking trophy trout. We've got dueling scientists. We've got some members of the environmental community that are threatening litigation. But because of our indecisiveness in implementation, because there is no clearly articulated policy, We're just spinning our wheels, you know, and going through another 2 years of study when we know what works, to me seems like a perpetuation of the gridlock. And I guess I'd like to see more decisive action by the Board of Commissioners and more decisive action by the agency in the proposal to continue this sort of an interim measure of stocking trophy trout and studying how to tiptoe around the tui chub issue.
If
in the meantime,
I might,
we have not restored the best trout fishery in the state of Oregon, which is a huge impact in the local economy. And but we need to rebuild support for that managed fishery.
If I might give you the benefits of my experience on this issue, Senator, this is an issue that is has a great impact in the area that I live in, because Diamond Lake is up near the crest of the Cascades, east of Roseburg, basically. And we worked hard in the last session to get the money to the agency to work on the environmental impact statement that was necessary to pass muster with the U.S. Forest Service, who actually owns the land all around the lake and has jurisdiction over the land around the river that the lake drains into. And the concern that we have is the legislators in that area down there is basically twofold, and one of them is that the economic activity that takes place in Diamond Lake and also all of the access places around that, Roseburg is a big gateway up there, were severely impacted by the loss of the trout fishery up there. And there are a number of businesses up there that were barely being able to hang on by their fingernails without the trout hatchery existing up there. And so we worked very hard to get the money to the agency to do the environmental impact statement and also to raise the speed limit on the lake so that they could draw in more of a recreational crowd that went beyond the fishing crowd. They could try to go for the water skiers and that kind of stuff. And that part of it worked really well. What didn't work well was the process of the environmental impact statement. And the problem that we ran into, in my understanding, was that the area, the North Umpqua, or the Umpqua National Forest, where this is all located, is part of the land that's under the jurisdiction of the Northwest Forest Plan. And the Northwest Forest Plan has a piece in it called the Aquatic Management Strategy. And anything that takes place on that land that impacts the water up there has to pass muster with the Aquatic Management Strategy. It's an incredibly complex document that describes a process that has to be stepped through. And if you get to a point in the process where you answer a series of questions, is what you do. If you don't know the answer to the questions, then the answer is automatically no. And if you have a no, you can't move forward. And so we got into a place where we started the environmental impact process and did a lot of the research and the legwork that was required and realized that we were stopped by the aquatic management strategy. And so the agency came back to the Salmon Committee in the interim and asked for permission to use some of that money to do some experimental procedures, trying to net the fish and some kinds of things like that with some of the money rather than using it to work on the environmental impact statement. And we gave them permission to go ahead and do that. So during the interim, they brought boats up there kind of designed an experimental program to see if there was a way to net the fish, which would give us the ability to get enough of them out of there without actually having to use the rotenone. They did the experiments and built models based on their research and found out that unless we were willing to put an incredible amount of money into it, that wasn't going to be the way to go, that we weren't going to be able to successfully take enough chub out of there to break the breeding cycle of the fish and be successful. So here we are. Now we're in a place where the process of having the environmental impact statement actually do any good looks real dim. So we've put money in the budget so that they can just stop the environmental impact statement process where it is and basically tie it down and put it on a shelf. We've given them money to continue the buying of fish to stock the lake, and we've given them money to begin a process of trying to develop a strain of fish that are aggressive enough that they can compete with the chub in the lake. So that's where the situation sits. I would sincerely hope that the agency continues working with our federal partners to try to find a way through this bureaucratic morass that we're in, because the bottom line is that the ecology of the lake is being destroyed. and there are unknown impacts about what that is going to have on the river, which is the North Umpqua River, that this lake dumps into. And I'm sure that you're very aware that the North Umpqua River is a world-famous fly fishery river. And so we are extremely concerned about where this is going to go and where this is going to end up. And this is basically a package to allow the fishery in the lake to limp along for another biennium while we try to work these issues through. Senator.
Madam Chairman, notwithstanding that history, and I appreciate it,
okay,
we don't have federal partnerships.
Okay.
We had federal partnerships. What we have now is implied threats and indecision. The implied threat is that we've devolved all of our management of all of our natural resources to some federal bureaucrat who answers to no one. And the fact is that unless there's some decisiveness and unless the agency is willing to stand up and refuse to default its decision-making authority to federal bureaucrats and clearly articulate its position and then take decisive action, we will never see the end of this. You know, basically it's appeasement. You step away from adaptive management, then you are into discussion and dueling science, conflicting and competing objectives that may or may not have a thing to do with sustaining the communities or sustaining the recreational opportunities. If that lake is a recreational opportunity in a watershed fishery, then it must be adaptively managed for those things and not by listening to a fisheries biologist from a federal agency who simply stands up at a meeting and says, I have a concern. Which brings, you know, literally paralyzes state government. Not, you know, we just are not going to get past this model of continually studying and taking half-step or gap measures unless we articulate our policies and implement decisive action. And if there is a problem, it'll be litigated. And at that point in time, we will learn whether or not the state has jurisdiction over its own waters, and whether or not the federal agencies are managing put and take fisheries, hatchery management programs, et cetera, in lakes in Oregon. I just believe it's unprofitable for us to keep blinking and backing up and studying. It's time that we basically said, listen, we've got an adaptive management problem, there is an adaptive management solution, and it's time to implement it.
Thank you, Senator. Mr.
Walker. Madam Chair, the next two packages are a cost reduction package and then a co-chair restoration package. The reduction package would eliminate five positions, 1.58 FTE, with a reduction of $4,365 of general fund, $197,548 other funds, and $7,237 federal funds. The restoration package would add back the five positions and the 1.58 FTE with $185,883 of general fund. Package 271 is a fund shift, an internal fund shift. This is a technical adjustment package to correct the funding of hatcheries with sport fish restoration funds. The way the budget was, there was an audit done, and the federal government said that the sport fish restoration fund should be used directly for hatcheries, and biologists needed to be funded with general fund and other funds. So this is a package that reduces the general fund by $950,295. Reduces other funds by $351,233 and increases federal funds by $1,301,528. There'll be another package that reverses this in natural production, so the net effect to the agency is zero. It's just a switching of funding sources. Package 275 is a reorganization of a position package. It's moving positions to the fish jurisdictional program where they're actually budgeted. And again, there's no net change agency-wide. This package reduces the propagation program by $599,024 of other funds, one position, 1.25 FTE. Package 264, which is at the top of page 4 of the memo, is a package that has no expenditure impact, but it just moves federal seasonal positions to full-time status. These are positions that have had long-time funding from the federal government and are anticipated to maintain that status. There's a net one new position due to additional federal funds and a total increase of 9.17 FTE to make limited duration positions permanent. Package 281 is an adjustment package, again, a technical change to for position reorganization. And this moves positions within the Fish Division to match the duties and funding sources. And again, there's no net change to the agency. It has for the propagation program, it has a net reduction of $19,394 general fund, an increase of $136,687 other funds, and $16,061 of federal funds. In effect, one position. With those changes to the budget, the LFO recommended total for the fish propagation program is $7,680,028 general fund, $6,425,837 other funds, $29,673,664 federal funds, and 269.51 FTE. And Madam Chair, I believe there is one additional budget note that needs to be discussed, which is number 13. We have looked at number 11, which is sort of a mix between the propagation program and the capital improvement program, so I think we can get back to that one when we talk capital improvement. The number 13 is related to the House Bill 3334, which is requiring purchasing of trout from private aquaculture facilities equal to at least 10% of the funding. And as was discussed when that bill was before the committee, the agency and the private facilities and LFO believes that if a dollar figure was set, it would give a lot more certainty to the process and people could plan better. Working with the agency, we came up with the number of $279,175 for the 0103 biennium. The budget note also describes a report that the agency must make to the first emergency board to show how emergency board meeting to show how the plan would be to provide these bids to offer these bids for the 0103 biennium so that that they are open to smaller bid packages, that there are some other kinds of opportunities provided to make it easier for private aquaculture facilities to participate in this program.
Are there any questions or comments or objections to the Fish Division Natural Production Program LFO's recommendations? Mr. Rocco.
The next program is that was the propagation program. The next program is natural production. It's on starts on page 19 of the spreadsheet, number 5 on page 4 of the memo. There's a reduction for PRS of $1,928 general fund, $18,645 other funds, $24,578 federal funds. There's a package 050, which is a lottery funds package, essential package for revenue shortfall package. LFO is recommending reversing this package since there really is no lottery fund shortfall. We're proposing this budget, as you heard in the OWEB budget, to fund the Oregon Plan activities in this agency's base with lottery funds, as has been done over the past couple of years, rather than use general fund as proposed in the governor's budget. But the program is fully funded at the CSL level with lottery funds. And part of that fully funding at lottery funds is the reversal of this package. Package 090 is a program reduction package, which includes, is recommended for approval, and this includes the reduction of two positions, which are the positions that were reestablished in OWEB using lottery funds. Package 202 is a license